from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yeah, so Clipped, Clipped got in their serious bag in this past episode. Once again, wasn't bad, but wasn't as good as the other two. Can't wait to see what happens, though. What do we think about V? Is V, does she have, she's going through some identity crisis and she's being faced with an identity crisis.
Here. Man, this is she comes across really dumb and unaware. She comes across as, my question is, who's she talking to? Who's the black girl?
I don't know.
Or the other?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, okay, is she black or isn't she?
V?
Yeah, she is, right?
Yeah.
Who's the other girl?
The other girl, it sounded like she might have been her sister. With a couple of the dialogues,
the way she was talking about, I was like, "Is that Downtown Julie Brown? Like, who is that?" Like, she's talking about she was a former
Downtown
BJ.
Julie Brown. It might be because I thought she was somehow involved in the story. She might be. She's got the hair. Yeah, but yeah, so the way they had a couple of dialogues, it came out that, well, I took it as it came out that was her sister. And because V is black, and I think she has maybe her sibling right there and then another one, and they look like the sister. And then she tells Donald or something like that, somehow I came out looking the way I did, and I never met my dad and all this other stuff, but I'm a black woman. And they get into her, like I said, her identity crisis.
She's obviously thirsting for fame. It's her story, is her story that they're trying to tell is interesting. And man, I think you hit the nail on the head last week when you said this feels like a thing of V versus Shelley. And that's 100% what it, that's 100%, you know, into this third episode, that's what it feels like. Shelley's telling, you know, detectives that V is doping up, you know, Donald Sterling with all of these meds and all of these different things. And it's her story is very odd.
Do you know who Alvin Gentry is? It's the bailiff, Sacramento Zone from Judge Judy.
That's Bird?
Yeah. I didn't recognize him without the goatee and stuff.
That's Bird for real? Yeah. He looks too short to be Bird. Wow. Shout out Bird. That's my man. I wonder if I still have Bird's number. We can get him in here.
Another one that I didn't realize. Ty Lue's in the show.
Who's Ty Lue playing?
I don't know. But he's in all the episodes. I checked to see if he was in the first three. He is.
Ty Lue, the Clippers' current coach?
Mike Miller is the actor's name, Tyrone
Lue. I thought you meant Ty Lue is in the...
his character is in
there.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. All right. I was like, there's Ty Lue. The NBA didn't sign off on Ty Lue being a part of it. There's no way. There's no way.
Yvonne Pearson is the V's sister.
What do you think about the DeAndre Jordan character?
You want my honest opinion?
No, I want you to lie to me.
Okay, well, it's just whatever. I'm lying. No, the honest thought is they portrayed DeAndre, and this could be an accurate portrayal, with more depth than I probably gave him credit for in real time. Like, really agonizing over this thing and really trying to figure out, like, how he feels about what's going on. And I wouldn't have thought that, not that, I don't know why I wouldn't have thought that, but I wouldn't have thought that DeAndre would have been like the one spearheading, like, no, I don't want to do it. Being used, and how does this look for da 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 da? Like, he kind of spearheaded all that. He was the one really that was like, I don't want to play. So
they basically had to talk him into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is consistent with Ramona's podcast, which this whole thing is. Again, I said this and I haven't done it yet. I need to go back and listen to that podcast again.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. It was really, really good.
I really want to know who V's friend is. But yeah, I walked away from the episode like, all right. That was serious. Hopefully we've got that out of the way. Let's see what happens
next. Let's get back to the jokes.
Let's get back to the funny old racist guy. Weird.
I think he's about to pull back up on the show though, because now they're about to try and take the tea.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like this is probably the most minimal Donald Sterling / Ed O'Neill episode we'll get. I love the idea. I think it was Matt Barnes that said it in the Matt Barnes character that said that in the meeting. Like, why are we being asked to stand up for what no one for the last 30 years has stood up for? Mm. Like, where's David Stern? Mm. Where are all those season ticket holders? Where are all those other players, those other coaches? Where are they? Where were they through all of this?
Yeah.
And it is. So it's fascinating, like David Stern, if you believe the reports, he tried to get Donald Sterling out of the league, mm-hmm. but couldn't, because it's not as easy as it might sound. Even what Adam did was not easy to like pull off.
Yeah.
And so for that to be Adam's first, like, I am the commissioner of the NBA moment, really is amazing. But I wonder how it would play today with, you throw the tapes out, right? You throw V out of this entirely. Mm-hmm. And you have Blake going to David Stern. Let me tell you about what this owner does. You have Elgin Baylor mm-hmm. going to David Stern. And saying, let me tell you about, and again, I'm sure this happened. I'm sure everyone did. But today, like in the world we operate in today, would it have different, like I think about Jerry, is it Jerry Richardson, uh-huh. the old Panthers owner?
Uh-huh.
He left because they were getting him out,
yeah.
right? And I wonder how quickly this would have been dealt with if the tapes didn't exist and more people just spoke about what went on.
I think it would. The only way I think things would change and you'd be getting him out of there is if you had one of those exposés that came out on Robert Sarver. You know, I think the stories, I don't want to call them folk tales because, you know, a lot of it is real, but that doesn't get it done. The reason why, in my opinion, this happened is because it became public and in everybody's face. And yeah. when it's public and in everybody's face, like before, when it's just kind of hearsay, the owners can hide behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They can say what Mark Cuban said behind closed doors. When he said, it's slippery slope. I don't know if I want to vote this. Essentially, he's saying, I don't know if I want to vote this guy out because of that. When it's public, you can't hide. Even if that's how you feel, Mark Cuban or anybody else, you got to protect your brand. So you're not going to get up here and say, like, no, we need to give Donald Sterling grace. I'm like, yeah, get that guy out of here. Yeah, I never condone any of that. Get it out. Like, no, bro, you just condoned it for 20 years. But now it's in the public.
Yeah.
So you're gonna do that. And I think
you're reacting to the reaction.
Exactly. I think
that's not to the problem.
That's why you gotta, if Blake Griffin or Elgin Baylor.
Poor Elgin Baylor.
Oh man.
That's by far the saddest scene of the series.
At
so
the
far.
Vons out there and just at Stater Brothers just runs into Doc Rivers.
You think? Do you think Chris Paul? I'm sorry. Do you think Chris Paul cried?
I don't think he cried, but I think he was adamant.
I want my ring. No. why'd they do that? Like, come on, man.
Who said Chris cried? Who you think said that?
I don't know.
I don't know why they had to yell at the. See, there's some scenes in there.
Dude who went to Del Campo might have said something.
There's some scenes in there. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is about writing a script that
I just
don't understand.
It's entertainment.
But why did Doc yell at the people who came in to set up for the banquet they had?
Well, I don't think he did that. I don't think he wasn't. He said, "Can we get 10 minutes, please?"
Why was that written into that scene?
Well, maybe it really happened.
Who cares?
I don't know.
It had nothing to do with nothing. They could have kept the scene going without the guys coming in to set up and saying, "Can you give us 10 minutes, please?"
It's not far fetched. I mean, Doc was calling out the equipment manager, the Bucks, and all that this year.
Damn! Wow. Wow.
What he was.
Oh, that's cold, man.
Taking
that's
shots
cold.
At Doc Rivers. Doc got a new assistant.
Well, you know, I saw the things that happened with the Lakers, and I saw a guy in Darvin Ham that really just needs a chance and really just needs a new lease on life. And, you know, you come to Milwaukee and you can get a new lease on life.
Yeah, but do you think Darvin even sold his old house? Like, Darvin just left Milwaukee for a couple of years and went back. We'll get you caught up on all of that. We'll talk more NBA Finals as well, as obviously there's been a change in what Game 3 might look like with the Porzingis injury. Trista Crick, who was all over the place.
Oh, man, she's a star.
Man, she was everywhere with her TikTok video about the U.S. Olympic team, which was officially announced today.
I like those jerseys.
She'll be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Plus, some other things going on in the NBA we can talk about as well. Lots of people have asked questions about Kevon Looney, given some recent reports. We could dive into that. It's Stealing with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino, here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Trista Crick joining us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Our man Jason Jones. What a week it's been for our man Jason Jones. We'll talk to him coming up in the final hour of the show as well. Phone lines are open for if you want to get in and have some fun. 916-909-1320.
Got to give a big shout out to the starting running back for the San Francisco 49ers, Christian McCaffrey. Your latest Madden 25, CMC on the cover.
Madden curse still a thing?
No.
Are we sure?
Madden curse been done for years.
For Pat Mahomes, it doesn't work. I'll acknowledge that, but
Josh Allen went to the second round of the divisional round of the.
That's not good.
NFL.
We all make fun of him on Twitter after that.
The curse was like injuries.
Yeah, people would be done.
We went from injuries to like you just weren't as successful as you should have been.
You went on the Madden cover, then your career ended like a year.
It's kind of evolved now. It's not that bad anymore.
So the curse has evolved.
The curse has evolved. Now it's just kind of like you don't have the year that you were expecting and all.
So no. To be clear, today this is what we've established. Curses over time evolve.
At least the Madden curse, yes.
These are forward-thinking curses.
Yes.
And then friendly ghosts who just want to play music.
I'm not co-signing that. I just want to be clear
as to what we've established here in the first hour, 19 minutes of the show.
That's accurate.
Curses evolve and ghosts just want to play music.
It's fair.
All right.
I don't know about that.
The evolution of the curse.
Let me see here.
Shout out Babe Ruth.
Let's see, I don't think this is in order. Looking at the Madden covers, I don't think there's been a bad Madden cover year, and I don't know how long.
Run a couple of them back. So Christian McCaffrey, what else do we got? Is Derrick Henry on there? What else do we got?
Derrick Henry was on there. I can't believe I can't just find a year by year.
Oh, I thought that's what you had in front of you.
No, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, but I can't.
Okay, never mind. It's not that important then. Shout out to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, good for him. First ever 49er on the cover of the game.
First running back since Peyton Hillis.
When did athletes take over the cover? Because it used to be Madden.
Or 2001.
Okay.
Eddie George was the first athlete. Wow. I think I have it here. So you got, I think they're missing a year or two, but you got Brady and Mahomes.
Okay.
They did the duel.
I remember that, yep.
Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes. AB.
Yeah, that.
Whoa.
Maybe the curse went double time on that one.
AB in 19. He was probably still really good, though.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, like he.
Yeah, still.
Well, I mean, it didn't age well.
No, it aged very bad. What year was OJ on?
Neither did Dante Culpepper.
Well. But,
Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Gronk.
Mm.
And Odell Beckham.
Okay.
Richard Sherman.
All right, it's not that serious. The point is, it's not a real
Peyton Hillis was, that's one. That's
a cursed one.
That's the Steve Nash MVP of Madden.
Damn.
Madden covers.
Damn, what was, Steve what Nash was he is just doing? Minding his own business.
What was he doing on the cover of Madden?
He was like never heard from again
he
after
was
that.
A monster for a year or two years.
He was good. He had no business.
Oh, he was really good. It's just not very, very
He had
very
no
long.
Business ever being on the cover of Madden.
That's the last time they put a Browns player on the cover, too.
Man, that's tough.
I
mean, that,
I won't read him off, but he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
But Christian McCaffrey, shout out to him.
Talking about the Clippers, man, it feels like the Clippers are low-key kind of a big part of... I think there's two teams that are really fascinating in the coming weeks, month, you know, stretch of time. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are one because of Paul George. And the other is Cleveland because of the Donovan Mitchell situation. Mm-hmm. Does Donovan Mitchell sign with Cleveland and, you know, what do they do next? Or does he not sign with Cleveland? And then what do they do next? Mm. I think there are two really interesting scenarios. Obviously, not signing with Cleveland creates a far more league-wide, compelling, hot take, insider war type scenario than if he were to sign with Cleveland. But I think those are two really interesting teams to watch over the course of the next couple of weeks. And then just the belief that Philadelphia is going to be involved in everything because they have the ability to be involved in everything, I think is also interesting.
Well, when you also talk about Cleveland and whether or not Donovan signs or not, I mean, business is going to pick up regardless, because don't forget we have that report out there that Garland says if he signs back,
right,
he wants out.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. that could be Garland by himself. That could be Garland and Jared Anderson. So it feels, to your point originally, business is going to pick up in Cleveland, and there may be a bit of a ripple down effect around the league, regardless if Donovan signs or not. The Clippers are also one of those teams, like you just mentioned. And what are they going to do with James Harden? You know, how much money are they going to give James Harden? Is Paul George really going to leave the Clippers? You know, I don't know. And if Paul George leaves, does he not shift the balance of power, but does he, you know, change some things in Philly, change the ceiling of Orlando if he were to go there? I think he does. You know, I think being a potential second, third option in one of those locations is ideal for a guy like Paul George, especially at this point in his career. And he can elevate one of those two teams.
Yeah, he seems to be – Paul George seems to be at the center of – I Jesse sent a link – the Magic now won in on the Paul George business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paul George and – I heard as much as Paul George and Klay Thompson.
I think they should do that.
Absolutely.
They should absolutely do that. Now Malik can decide between Sacramento and Detroit.
Oof. It's so cold in the D.
It feels like Paul George is going to whoever offers him a max deal. And if he doesn't get that max deal, he probably stays with the Clippers.
Mm.
It seems like the Clippers want to pay him what they want to pay him, at least from what I've read.
Or they're posturing. They're publicly posturing.
Do you believe that it would eventually get to a max deal for Paul George?
In the L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Mm. Like, you really going to put you really went through all of this to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you're done?
I mean, there is an argument to be made that at some point you got to pivot off of it.
It's been 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, but you're not trading Paul George. You're just losing Paul George. So what are you going to do next?
You got a little more cap space.
Do they?
I mean, yeah, you don't have the Paul George contract there. You got something with James Harden.
Yeah, but that's not a dollar-for-dollar match.
But the only max you have is Kawhi. Got a max slot open. Give it to James Harden.
It's wild to pivot off of Paul George to James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it, though, and, you know, I'm a big Paul George supporter and fan and believer in his game. But if you're the Clippers, I mean, that just hasn't gotten you anywhere. It hasn't gotten you anywhere. And, like, you look at it, like, does anybody here, the three of us, believe that the fortunes are going to change for the Clippers if they kept everybody together?
No, I think that's ran its course.
Yeah, I think that's...
Maybe they could keep Kawhi around and try to do something different around that. But as far as PG and Kawhi, I think that's done.
Yeah, if that's the case, you should have traded him. Like, you should have, if that's how you felt, you should have traded him in February or last year.
Well, you might not have felt that way until after these playoffs. Because remember, at the time, Kawhi Leonard was playing every game at the time.
How Kawhi play in the playoffs?
Didn't play well at all. Didn't really play. But I'm just saying, you talk about traded him. At the trade deadline, they were like the best team in basketball.
Okay. So if,
or the hottest team in basketball.
No, it's fine. So why would you move off of Paul George if that's the case then?
Because the season ended the same way it always did. You, like, at the trade deadline, it looked like things might be different. Kawhi's playing, you know, all these games. You're hot. Feels like you might have found the formula. Uh-huh. And then when you get here in May, it's the same thing it always is. And now, you're right. In an ideal situation, you trade Paul George, but you can't trade him now.
But maybe I'm misremembering. Did Kawhi Leonard play in the playoffs?
No. Or he played two games. But he was hurt for like a month leading up to
the playoffs. No, I got you. But so, I guess that's where this feels short-sighted to me. If you were like, no, we're playing too well, we can't move off of Paul George, we can't trade Paul George despite his contract status, then... You know, we've got to see this thing through. And then the offseason gets here and it's like, well, Kawhi got hurt, so we're just not going to pay Paul George? That math doesn't work for me. I don't understand that.
Paul
George wasn't the one who was injured.
No, but he wasn't able to. Okay, you already paid Kawhi. You can't do anything about that. Kawhi's going to get hurt again. Paul George clearly isn't the guy that's going to lead you if he gets hurt again.
You're not going to find that guy now. You're better off believing it's Paul George than who?
You never know what might happen in trade scenarios or whatever if you have the financial flexibility.
I guess that's the thing. I don't really think they have financial flexibility.
Committing another 4 or 5 years to this, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, once again,
you don't think you're giving anybody you're not this, giving this your, you're not giving yourself a chance to win a title if you re-sign Paul George?
I don't think so. And I'm a believer in those guys. And
yeah, you've picked them for like 4 years in a row.
Yeah, I had Paul George MVP candidate.
Well, I'm going to let that slide, but if you want to point it out, that's fine.
But does anybody here think that anything's going to
change? My point
is,
I think they have a better chance of winning a championship with Paul George than not. Because if your theory on, yeah, Kawhi's just going to keep getting hurt, then that's your problem. It's not Paul George. And at least with Paul George, maybe you don't have a superstar maybe you don't have a guy that can drag you to a title, but you're not going to find one. Who are you going to sign that's going to drag the Los Angeles Clippers without Kawhi Leonard somewhere?
Well, it's not necessarily signing somebody. It's having that max slot open for a potential trade.
No, you gave it to James Harden. It's too late.
I don't think this happens, but what if after next year you're able to get Kevin Durant? And you bring him to L.A., you know, in a trade. I don't think this will happen either, but what if DeRozan wants to come home?
And maybe that's what they're looking at. They could blow this whole thing up. Well, DeMar DeRozan be another year old at that point. Like,
no, for
DeMar
sure,
DeRozan over Paul George is goofy to me. Unless you're talking about, like, DeMar DeRozan isn't going to make any money.
Because
they've got... They've got like $72 million on the payroll in the 2025 season.
The Clippers do?
Yeah, and that's like as the roster stands right now with, you know, because Paul George can't opt in for $48 million. Mm-hmm. He could do that. Mm-hmm. But Once that all gets stripped away, obviously they've got decisions to make on James Harden. And it, but really, once you get into 25-26, it's Kawhi and Norman Powell.
The thought for me is you don't sign Paul George. Are you a championship contender? Probably not. But you're not locked in to a scenario that's not going to get you anywhere. Like, you signed Paul George, you already signed Kawhi, which probably was the problem. Like, you probably shouldn't have signed Kawhi when you did. That's kind of the mishap, if you ask me. But you already did it. You can't reverse it. If you sign Paul George, you're locked into those two without really being able to do a whole lot to get better for something that nobody believes is going to be successful as far as winning a championship.
So you going into the Bomber Dome with that many questions around your roster?
Maybe not. Maybe you just sign him and you say, hey, we got Paul George and Kawhi. Come be on the wall.
And probably James, too.
And see us get bounced by...
I think they're re-signing James Harden.
Yeah, and see us get bounced again in the first round. Like, they're not even making runs in the playoffs. they're like, it'd be one thing if they just kept getting to the conference finals and couldn't get over the top. They're not even making runs. They're losing in the first round, damn near.
So at what point do they just not make the playoffs then?
Maybe next year.
You think with Paul George not there? Or you think they could miss the playoffs with Paul George?
George there. I mean, they nosedived. They were like really, really, they were hot. And you know, I was, and then they kind of, they took a nosedive. And I think they're one of those teams that could regress. Like maybe miss the playoffs is a little harsh, but they might be a play-in team.
51-31 last year.
Mm.
They were five games out of the top seed conversation with Minnesota, Denver, which it's kind of a lot. Five kind of feels like a lot of games between three and four, and you know, we all know how clustered 1, 2, and 3 were. Obviously, they edged out Dallas. That was well documented. And Phoenix was a couple of games behind them. They were four games ahead of Los Angeles in that cluster that involved the Lakers, the Kings, the Pelicans, and of course the Warriors. I don't see them falling down.
They might be in a situation where they just have to sign Paul George for some of the reasons that you laid out.
I only laid out one. It's the arena, but it's also, what else are you going to do? And that's what they're paid to know. Like, okay, if we don't do this with Paul George, what are we going to do? Like, are we really banking on Kawhi and James Harden as taking us where we got to go? Because a max from Philadelphia for Paul George isn't a max from the Los Angeles Clippers. Those aren't the same dollar figures. So I don't think Paul George's preference is to leave, but I think there's a lot of, I don't even know that Sixers team is in a better position than this Clippers team is next year.
It's close, but I think the Sixers would be better, in a better spot.
The Sixers with Paul George versus the Clippers with Paul George. Is that because of Tyrese? Because I'm afraid some things might start happening with Joel.
Yeah, Tyrese.
And I'm a Joel guy.
But Joel is Kawhi at this point. And then it's like, who's better, Maxey or Harden?
Well.
And they probably still got, they can go get somebody else too.
Yeah, they got
no players.
But they are putting a lot of money into Tyrese.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you believe this, you know, Paul George thing, obviously a lot of money would go to him as well.
That'd be a good move for Philly.
Paul George?
Yeah, Paul George. That'd be a good move.
Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid. Yeah,
and putting Paul George in that situation where he can be kind of the third guy there. You know, maybe in some instances, whether it's injury or an off night from somebody, he can easily slide into being that second guy and get you 35 or something like that. You know, that I think that's a good spot for him.
Do you think Paul George is aware yet of his, like, you know, the decline might be on the horizon for him?
Yeah, for sure.
You think he's aware of that?
Yeah, I think
that's a hard thing for, understandably, for players, for anybody to accept.
I think one of the things that having conversations and I'm not a professional athlete, but just, you know, you can't move the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You have aches that kind of come out of nowhere, and you know, you're just aware of that stuff. You're aware of, man, I can't always jump the same way, you know, I would 5 years ago. So he knows, I think mm-hmm. he knows, but the other parts of that is, you just add different things to your game, right? So your game is a little more floor based, you know, a little bit craftier, you know, and you compensate for not having the same type of athleticism or explosion that you may have had 2-3 years ago. So mm-hmm. you just get creative. Get creative.
Yeah, it's on the horizon for a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys have liked the, I mean, you mentioned like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys.
Joel is 30. Is he 30 yet?
I think he's 30, maybe even 31.
Mm-hmm.
But not to, like, Joel's a big too.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's always a little bit, he's 30, he turned 30 in March. He's, you know, it's always a little bit different when you're a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Joel's not going to play like till he's 40 like LeBron is,
right.
Or like Steph.
Right.
If Steph wants to, he certainly can. He's a bigger dude. And these years take a toll on him.
Speaking of Steph, did you activate your Lifetime Fitness membership?
I don't know.
I mean, that's in, it's in your wheelhouse.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not. No, I work out at home. That's where I work out at. I work out in my garage where it is extremely hot. The only difference between where I live now and used to is I can actually crack the garage door and get some air in there in the morning.
When you working out when it's hot?
Yo, the garage stays hot. What's
at 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Bro, it's 100 degrees outside.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the garage is like 84 degrees or something like that.
That's where you get it in. I like the dungeon environment.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I like that. But admittedly, I don't know. One day this weekend, I was like, yeah, I can just crack this garage door open and get a little Delta breeze in here and be ready to go. But no, I'm not going to Lifetime Fitness.
Well, I just figured. I mean, that looked like a D-Lo place. The price was right. All that. You know what I mean?
I don't know why you...
Have either of you ever stepped foot inside of a Lifetime Fitness before?
No, I never have.
Say it ain't so. Come on.
Look at him. Come on, man.
I was trying to set up Kenny. I figured he'd be the guy.
Of course, it's him, not me.
Never meet your heroes, guys.
You know, the funny thing was, you know which one I've been to?
Huh?
The New York one you were talking about the other day. Yeah. I think that's the only one I've ever been to. It was that one.
The most expensive gym I've ever been in is at Equinox.
Yeah, that's the same thing, right? Like, I mean, the same.
I don't know if the.
It's
price point.
That's not
exactly
a $9.99 per month deal.
Let me look at those memberships.
It's not Planet Equinox, Fitness.
Equinox going crazy. The one, I think I was in Redondo Beach, maybe Manhattan Beach. Yeah. I went in there on a membership. I was training this guy. He got me a little plus one. Like, yeah, come train me in the basketball. Come train at the Equinox.
Does Jeter have one of those in New York? Like, it's like the Derek Jeter
right.
Equinox or Equinox or whatever.
Sounds
I feel like
right.
He has one of those.
Yeah. I'm more of a Magic Johnson 24-hour fitness
there you go.
Place.
There you go.
That's what I can afford. But no, those gyms are fantastic, though.
I mean, as long as they, I mean, because when we were looking at the site yesterday with Steph, they got like plunge pools and saunas, and it's literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dope. Like, I can't do it, but it's pretty fire.
Yeah.
Lifetime Fitness, if you'd like to sponsor any element of D'Lo and KC on either of our radio stations, please connect with Justine.
Well, you know, you want to sponsor or endorse, you know, because there is.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So our the
I'll
only
post on social media.
The only thing worse than like all staff meetings are the programming only meetings, because those are the ones where, hi, so what if, and it's like a 20, we actually just left. We just had to leave. We were like, man, we've got work to do. Went and did our work. came back, and they were still talking.
Go see the boss in his office, bro.
Like, well, look, ever hear of sidebars or like?
The funny thing is, the meeting didn't really end. People just started walking.
People just
away.
Left. They're like, this is just as soon as. You know what it was, is Stacy, the boss, took a call, and everyone took that as, all right, we're just leaving. If Stacy does, I'm convinced Stacy faked the phone call.
I was running behind this morning. I text Charlie, hey, Charlie, I'm not going to be able to make the meeting. He's like, yeah, it's finally not going to be able to make it. It goes on another half hour when I get here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that's because it took them 15 minutes to set up the Zoom link for the two people who weren't here. Like, yo, just fill them in when they get here.
Somebody was answering a question when everybody just walked away.
Just left. I'm telling you, I swear to God, I think Stacy faked the phone call. She put the phone to her ear. Hi, hey.
This is the general rule. This is the general rule, too. If the boss is like, all right, yes, we can wrap this up. Anyone else have anything? Don't be like, yeah, I got something. No. Like,
no.
Go to your desk.
Shut up.
Go talk to him later.
Ridiculous.
Oh, man. Life
and then we got Field Day coming up, which Jesse and I equated to Beach Day, which you don't get. You're
what
still
season
separate.
Is that?
I think it's two.
Oh, okay. I think so.
I think it's the last episode.
That's got to be season four, no? When they go on the office Field Day, right? Because that's when Michael and, what's her name? His lady.
I don't know. Jan?
No, the other one. The HR lady.
No, I'm talking about Beach Game.
Oh, Beach Day.
Where Michael, the winner of Beach Day, gets his job.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's season two.
Yeah.
I'm not far. I'm right there.
You're not,
right
Yeah. You're not going. I guarantee you Kenny doesn't see that episode in 2024.
Stop it. I'll be watching like two episodes a night.
What episodes you see last night?
I didn't say I watch every night. Oh. I said when I watch at night, I see like two.
Which has been like twice.
Well.
I'm also glad.
I stand by it. He does not see that episode
in
2024.
How many episodes is in the season?
I'll let you figure it out for yourself. You will not see that episode in 2024.
Company decided to think about us and move Beach Flag Day or whatever we're doing.
Oh, my God.
To. Field day.
They didn't. I mean,
field day. At least they listened to us. At least they listened to us.
Well, wasn't it Saturday before?
That's the bar day.
That's the picnic.
Two of these.
No. So field day, they scheduled, and it was everyone has to participate. So you guys voice track your show is what they told everyone else, but old D-Lo and KC and James and Kyle, we can't do that.
Oh, man, I can't go. Oh, no.
So it was, hey, that's the day after the draft. I get this. There's no way we can be off. Yeah. They moved it. So it's like now.
Move it back.
I don't know what to do now.
Move it back.
I need to think of something. We need to work together on this.
Where is this at? Somewhere out here, right?
We don't know. We're going to, like, carry eggs on a spoon or something.
We're literally going to do, like, bean bag races or whatever they
call
them.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
The potato sack races.
Yeah, the potato sack.
Who's on the grill? Are they catering?
Me. Oh, you know there's probably trade. Probably Bennett's, though, so it's all right.
Well, I'm mad at that.
We'll come back. Trista Crick joins us here. It's Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I'm never giving that one a second watch.
Yeah, it's good the second time. I always, if it's really good, I like to rewatch shows and stuff just because you always miss things and stuff like that.
Yeah, I need to run that back one more time, but it was a good show. Breaking Bad was a really good show, but I remember you had to get through like a little bit of it, right? Like the first season or two, or not first season, maybe the first handful of episodes.
Yeah, first few episodes are kind of slow, but after that, it's solid. Another show that ends perfectly too, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Very good ending.
I just finished season one of Snowfall.
Okay.
So saw the first season. Good stuff.
I missed that show. That was one of the few shows like I was like tabbing it every Tuesday or whenever it was on FX.
Yeah, Snowfall was fire. So was Trista Crick. She's everywhere. She is all over the place.
See, crazy.
She's getting referenced by Cam and Mace now on their show. They like her clip was on the news. Like she everywhere.
When we say the news, we ain't talking about CBS 13. We talking about the news, like NBC News.
talking about the news news.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a shot at CBS 13, too.
No,
wow,
the 13 is to let you know it's a local broadcast.
Nah, Casey low-key hates on local TV stations and all that.
Wait, what? You got me confused with somebody else. I love local TV. I'm the one always leaving it on there after the Rivercats game and episodes of Blackish comes on.
Poor Matt George still waiting for you to shout out his station. Meanwhile, man, it's NBC or it's CBS or it's PBS.
Shout out ABC 10. Got love. I got love, man. I got love.
Casey and I were watching. The Fever got just rolled by the Connecticut Sun for like the 40th time this year yesterday. We watched that whole thing unfold during our second show. And man, I think anyone who was paying attention knew it would probably be a rough season for the Fever, but this is bad. And I don't know why they play New York and Connecticut every night.
Every night.
It's fascinating.
That's their schedule.
Caitlin Clark didn't even play the fourth quarter. That game was so bad.
Yeah. And the Sun they really real. They're really like that.
They absolutely are. My man Richard Deitch over at The Athletic, he wrote a great article dispelling some of the myths surrounding Caitlin Clark in particularly with the USA basketball equation. You know, I see these clips pop up on my timelines of these guys screaming about how you got to draw interest and you got to do this and you got to do that. And people aren't interested until Caitlin got here and all of these weird things. Richard was like, that's cool. Like, media is my game. Let's see what we could find. Mm-hmm. The Olympics in Tokyo, the 2020/2021 Olympics. That gold medal game that started at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time drew 7.9 million viewers. Mm. The gold medal game from Rio, 8.1. Mm. The gold medal game from London, 10.2.
Mm.
The gold medal game in Beijing, which I think was at 4 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock Eastern time, mm-hmm. 5.9 million viewers. What are we doing? What are we talking about? Like, how much larger do you think the audience would be? Because I think the audience this year, of course, with the Olympics, everything depends on the time. Mm-hmm. Everything depends on what time something airs. I think the numbers will all be like there's the interest in women's basketball is crazy right now. Yeah. But people can't separate the interest of women's basketball with the interest of Caitlin Clark. Mm. They're kind of going hand in hand right now. And social media discourse is bizarre. Talk show discourse is even more bizarre. So Rich just broke out the numbers and said, yeah, there's probably no validity to any of these arguments as they pertain to USA basketball.
It feels like the loudest voices that watch the least have just kind of taken over this whole thing.
Sounds about right.
Could be true.
Yeah, sounds about right. And much like a lot of stuff that happens, a lot of the times that I just kind of hate, like they're just going overboard with what they're saying. Nobody's wrong when they say Caitlin Clark has brought attention to women's basketball, to the WNBA, and you know, the people that love watching her play are giving the league. That's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but nobody would be watching if it wasn't for Caitlin. Now you're just saying whatever at this point because the numbers have been telling you that there has been an increase steadily throughout the last couple of years of viewership, of ticket sales, of general interest in the league. And, you know, they can't just say, hey, Caitlin is adding to this, you know, and helping. Right. It's got to be the extreme. It's got to be the most outlandish thing. And that's kind of annoying, you know, and I hate that because it takes away from Caitlin and the impact that she is having and the attention that she is bringing to the league for a person like me because, like, yeah, I see it there, but I'm so tired of the extras. It's like, all right, man, whatever. Like, I don't even want to hear about what she's bringing to the league because it's always somebody doing too much when you have that conversation. So, yeah. I think these – this rookie class and these young ladies that are coming into the league, I think they're all bringing in people in their own right and doing their part to bring interest to the game. A lot of people, I'm not here to say it's on necessarily the same level as Caitlin, but you know, a lot of people don't acknowledge and don't want to acknowledge there's a lot of people that tune in for Angel Reese. A lot of people like Angel Reese. A lot of people like her, and like, we're gonna, hey, she's playing, I'm checking out the sky or whatever the case may be. We talked about it last night. Caitlin, they were filled to the rafters for that game in Washington on Friday night.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll take video of that and be like, oh, look what Caitlin bringing them out. If that was 18,000 or whatever, Angel but did they, like 15 the night before.
Well, they ignored the Sparks.
What was that?
Aces
like 17,
game.
Right?
That was 17,000 the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Angel there. And, like, I mean, at some point, one of these people who are screaming about eyes and viewership and interest need to acknowledge Asa Wilson might be the best basketball player we've seen in the last two decades in that league. Like she's flirting with, because Diana, I love Diana, but Diana, it felt like sometimes Diana just checked out. Like, I'm not really interested in this year. She's like, Asia might be like Cynthia Cooper. Like those Houston comments. Like, she might be the best player since we've seen since the first 4 years of the league. By the way, as we bring in Trista Crick here, who's probably the most famous person on the planet right now.
That's a fact.
No.
The highest, the most viewership for a women's basketball game in the Olympics was that 1996 team, that iconic 1996 team, where 23.4 million people tuned in to watch that game.
Man, that's crazy. You know, the other thing that I think about when I think of Caitlin and the argument of we're helping grow the game, I just can't get over the fact that people think the Olympics need help.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
The Olympics do not need help with viewership.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.